Hello and welcome to Seven Stars, Seven Siblings, and One White Tree, a Tolkien podcast. Tolkien podcast. I'm trying to say Tolkien correctly. I'm trying to learn these things. Anyway, we're a family. We love Lord of the Rings. We love literature. We love Tolkien's writings. And today we're talking about humor in the Lord of the Rings, humor in Middle Earth. So each of us are going to kind of share about what we find to be some of the most humorous passages in the written work, and then maybe talk a little bit about funny moments that we like in the movies. So, would anybody like to kick us off? Yes. Oh, I know. I'll kick us off. I'll kick us off in one way. I just remember.
Wait, hold on. You say kick us off really made me think. Can I kick us off?
Can I kick us off? Because I have an idea.
Somebody's fighting for it. Figure it out.
That we always laughed at as kids. Because Daddy would read us The Hobbit, and when they're all going by the stone giants, and they're like, this is very concerning. Thorin's like, well, yes, Daddy, but a lot of girls, we're going to get pulverized or kick sky high like a football. I was always laughing at that. So your kicking made me think about that, but that was one of those ones that popped when I was like, funny stuff in the books, and I'm like, that one always comes to mind, because the way that you write stuff, the things that people say really make me laugh a lot in Lord of the Rings, but that was one that I definitely remember. I don't know if you guys remember that one.
I didn't offhand, but that is one of the better lines in The Hobbit, which is itself a very funny book.
I wish that one was a movie.
It reminds me of a topic I thought of the other day, which is like sports in Lord of the Rings. Like,
yeah,
there's a reference to football.
Super Bowl episode hunting
references. What I was going to say, just to start us off, was one thing that I noticed recently rereading the Silmarillion. You know, you have the Valar, you have the member of the Valar who becomes evil, Melkor, Morgoth, but one of the things that I think's funny is that the Valar are trying to figure out what to do about Morgoth, Melkor. And they bring in this like hired gun almost. This Valar comes from outside the circles of Middle Earth. He's not one of the original Valar that helps sing the Middle Earth into existence. He's like part of some different galaxy or universe, so to speak. But he comes in, he sees about Middle Earth and he's like, oh, this looks cool. And he comes down and his name is Tulkas. And he's the one that Morgoth is terrified of. And it tells in the Silmarillion that Tulkas is always laughing, basically. Let me see if I can find this part right here. It also says it about Ossi, who's one of the Maiar, and that he loves the coasts and isles and rejoices in the winds and laughs in the storms. So It comes up for him too. Melkor had the upper hand in the first war, it said, between the Valar and Melkor. But suddenly came Tulkas the Strong, whose anger passes like a mighty wind, scattering clouds and darkness before it. And Melkor fled before his wrath and his laughter. And it's like Tulkas is always just laughing about the ridiculousness of Morgoth and laughing in the idea that he gets to pound his face in. And so, anyway, I read that and I thought about how from the very beginning, it's like laughter is kind of like the medicine for evil in Middle Earth.
Yeah, that is kind of interesting to look at. I was thinking about funny stuff from the Silmarillion because I'm still reading through it and I have not got to that yet. but yeah, that's kind of cool how it's woven in there from the beginning.
And like Tom Bombadil is always laughing and stuff. So there's the only good thing, the evil there.
And you know, it's not really funny, but there's that line I really like in The Return of the King where Pippin's looking at Gandalf and he's like, you know, he looks kind of serious, but I know underneath there's like this well of joy in Gandalf. And I just really, yeah, like the idea that at heart there is a lot of joy in the characters.
I was going to say, I'm sure there are people who are terrified of Tom Bombadil's laugh as well.
Yeah,
good reason.
They should be,
yeah. I found a part in the Silmarillion that I found kind of funny. Is that a good time to bring it up?
Sure. Yeah, let's get on the Silmarillion. Let's start early with this.
Here, yeah, no, I was reading it the first time and I was like, yeah, this is entertaining. And then I kind of came across this and it was the first thing that made me think, oh, this is like humor that I've sort of found in Lord of the Rings too. And this is when, okay, I looked up how to pronounce his name and I'm hoping that I was correct. It said Ali, that said Ale, was the Valar that had the dwarves and they were trying to, so he made the dwarves and they had that whole thing where they tried to destroy the dwarves and then they ended up being able to keep them, but they're Yavanna's concerned because they keep cutting down trees and so they finally give them the shepherd of the trees, and so Yavanna and Ale are kind of having this back and forth, and then she goes back and talks to him and he's like, so she's telling him off about the dwarves. She's like, now let thy children beware, for there shall walk a power in the forest whose wrath they will arouse at their peril. Nonetheless, they will have need of wood, said Ale, and he went on with the smith work. I like it, like kind of picking on each other, and I thought that was just kind of like a funny little comment. It seemed very
yeah. I saw people the other day talking about that online, how it's a funny little married couple fight that yeah, they have in the summer.
Those two are funny. They remind us of friends of mine, but they're cute.
I found the one part that I wanted to reference about Tulkas, because there's this war going on between Melkor and the Valar, and Melkor had the upper hand, but this was the sentence I was looking for. But in the midst of the war, a spirit of great strength and hardihood came to the aid of the Valar, hearing in the far heaven that there was battle in the little kingdom, and Arda was filled with the sound of his laughter. So I love that, like, Tulkas is hanging out in some different universe, and he's like, oh, there's a battle going on? Ha ha! I shall go and beat Satan with my bare fists. And it's filled with his laughter, so I like that.
One of the things I always think about was, like, in Fellowship of the Ring, after Frodo gets stabbed, I can't remember the exact scene, because it's been a while since I've read that book, but, like, he was laughing over something, even after he was being stabbed. He had been stabbed. And that's, like, kind of something that reminded me of that Frodo had a lot of humor in the books, and I love Elijah Wood, but you don't always get to capture that in the movies.
Preach.
And I want to see more of that from Frodo. But also another moment I forgot about but didn't realize until you mentioned The Hobbit was in The Hobbit book when all the dwarves fall on top of Thorin. And I really wish they kept that in the movie, because I would have loved to have seen all of them fall on top of Richard Armitage.
I think there was a little more slapstick in The Hobbit.
Yeah.
And they did have some of that in the movies, let's be honest. They had some slapstick.
Yeah,
a little bit.
I think the movies get picked on for having too much slapstick, and yeah. I don't think they had enough.
Yeah, they should have more.
There was a lot of slapstick. Okay, yeah. Frodo has one of my favorite lines. Okay, I have a lot of specific lines, so I'll have to eliminate some, but he has one of my favorite lines when Gandalf's like talking about how Bilbo got the ring, and he's like, why? Wouldn't an orc have suited it better?
Was, like, nicely snarky, and
he is underrated humor. I like it when the one morning the hobbits are making their way, you know, to Rivendell, but Frodo's out thinking and walking around, and Pippin asks him if he brought water, and Frodo's like, I can't carry water in my pockets.
okay, but that
thinking, leads good gracious, to... before breakfast?
That's exactly what I was about to bring up.
I was going
to
bring up, too.
You all to it.
Let me chime in. No, it wasn't even that specific one. I just wanted to bring up that, in general, the first half of their trip there with the hobbits, they're just hilarious.
Yeah.
It was such a good job setting up each of them and their personalities, and just like Pippin singing in the shower and getting all of the water on the floor, and like the good heavens at breakfast. The one that I found though was later in Fellowship of the Ring, what I thought at first when they're in Lothlorien and they're sleeping in a tree on the first night, and Pippin's like, I hope if I do sleep in this bird loft that I shan't roll off. And Sam says, once I do get to sleep, I shall go on sleeping whether I will off or no. And the less said, the sooner I'll drop off, if you take my meaning. And Sam is honestly just full of great puns. I feel like he's highly underrated for that.
I mean, dad puns. I mean,
from the gaffer.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He got it from the best source.
Yeah. Gaffer's always, he's a fount of humor as well. He always has some great observation, usually about how Sam isn't too bright because he's that sort of a dad.
But talking about the hobbits, you know, at the beginning there, let's give Fatty Bulger his due. I always love when they're at dinner, and he's like, I don't suppose anyone wants any more mushrooms. Like, no, of course we do.
No, I found, yes, the excellent Pippin quote from A Short Cut to Mushrooms, and Frodo's like, now leave me in peace for a bit. I don't want to answer a single question while I'm eating breakfast. I want to think, good heavens, a Pippin at breakfast?
It's a mood.
I'm like, yes, I feel you, Pippin.
We aren't big on morning people in this family, so we relate to that.
anyway, as a morning person.
We shall on you.
But no, Sam is my MVP, but the Sam Gollum conversations are some of the best. I love the Sam and Gollum back and forth. But I think one of my favorites is this little part from The Black Gate is Closed, where Gollum's like, this Gollum and Sam thing. I suppose it's no good asking, what way do we go now? This is Sam. We can't go no further unless we want to ask the orcs for a lift. No, said Gollum. No use. We can't go further. Smeagol said so. He said, we'll go to the gate, and then we'll see. And we do see. Oh, yes, my precious, we do see. Smeagol knew hobbits could not go this way. Oh, yes, Smeagol knew. Then what the plague did you bring us here for? Said Sam, not feeling in the mood to be just or reasonable.
We've all felt that, Sam, you know?
Speaking, since we were talking to you about Pippin, I want to give a shout out to the Pippin Gandalf comedy duo, yeah. Who are a source of unending fun. I always think about, like, Gandalf, this eternal, powerful spirit angel who's living among the mortals, and then Pippin, who he has to keep track of. But here's a great glimpse into it. So this is in many meetings. Frodo comes out. Pippin sees Frodo for the first time since he's been feeling better. Hooray, cried Pippin, springing up. Here's our noble cousin. Make way for Frodo, Lord of the Ring. Hush, said Gandalf from the shadows at the back of the porch. So he's like around the corner at the back of the porch, and he hears this. He's like, hush, evil things do not come into this valley, but all the same, we should not name them. The Lord of the Ring is not Frodo, but the master of the Dark Tower of Mordor, whose power is again stretching out over the world. We're sitting in a fortress outside. It is getting dark. Gandalf has been saying many cheerful things like that, said Pippin.
That was actually the one that I was going to talk
about. Oh, was it? I'm sorry.
I should have said something. Sorry.
Why did you think that was funny?
The timing, the comedic timing. Yeah. Man.
I was assuming to hear from Eden on our usual favorite Eden topic, because we all know what the actual funniest part of The Hobbit is. Yeah. And it's at Bjorn's house.
Yeah.
I did want to say that I like it that Pippin then says, Gandalf thinks I need keeping in order.
I just imagine that scene, the hobbits all sitting at the other table, and Gandalf walks up, they're like, Gandalf, come sit. And he deliberately goes around the table and sits in the corner, like on the opposite side of the room from where the hobbits are.
Yes, I think that's about right. It's just funny that Pippin has enough, like, cheek to say, like, he thinks I need keeping in order. I've got this handled.
That chapter, I think, also has the one where Bilbo's asking Aragorn to hear his poem, and he's like, you have a cheek to make a song about this in Rivendell?
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, okay. because Bilbo's making a poem about Elrond's dad.
Yeah. And he's like, you do you, man. You do you, Bilbo.
So I feel like Pippin truly embodies one of my favorite, like, internet Tumblr posts about Gandalf, about how he's this super important angel being, and the hobbits are really just like, oh, it's that spooky old wizard again.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and it really, like you were saying about the beginning of The Fellowship of the Ring, it really keeps you engaged, because it could get a little slow at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But the Hobbit team really keeps you engaged and it keeps you grounded. Like, we're talking about Frodo being funny, and we you know, one of the times I did trivia with my dad about what Frodo says when the gate's closed, and that line about, like, I'd like a whole bunch of Oliphants and Gandalf on a white one at their head. That's pretty funny, and that it's like a pretty serious scene, and he just can come out with that funny image.
And that's Tolkien keeps it up throughout the whole, all three of the books. It's not just the beginning of the Fellowship of the Ring, because you see that in sometimes, like the very beginning, it's funny. Then as you get darker, you lose the humor. But even when they split up, you know, with Aragorn, Gimli, and Legolas, it's, you know, there's definitely a funny dynamic there, especially between Gimli and Legolas and the counting in Helm's Deep and all that. And then, you know, put in Sam, the Gollum and Sam dynamic too as well.
Hey, I always even... liked how, like, Mary also has, he's more of a sneaky, snide little humor, but he has some fun stuff with the Rohirrim too. I always like when he gets tripped over by the one Rohirrim, and then he's like, well, pack yourself up, Master Bag. I don't know why that always makes me laugh, but it's just kind of funny.
Yeah, well, Sam's the one in Mordor who's still like, you know, a Shagrat himself will still offer me a glass of water, I'd shake his hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, like, the orcs are fighting. He's like, oh, I like this. If this nice friendliness had spread all over Mordor, then we'd have no problem.
That's
a paraphrase. But.
Yeah, and you're talking about Legolas. Legolas doesn't always get credit for having some humor, but of course, famously, when he says that, you know, if Gandalf would take his, it would light a path before us, that's funny. And then also, one thing that I thought of recently was when when they're looking for the hobbits and Legolas is tracking about what happened, he's like, all right, so somehow maybe it's like they grew wings and they somehow moved without like having their ropes tied. And then he's like, and then they rolled around and they stopped here and they ate Limbas, and that's definitely a hobbit.
No, I didn't lead with it because I thought it was obvious and it took us a surprising amount of time to get here, but Legolas is hilarious. My gosh. My favorite for a while, is because, like, yeah, the if elves could fly over mountains bit is 100% my top like five moments in all of the Lord of the Rings books.
And then right after that he goes, you know, running across the snow path past Aragorn and Boromir, who are digging through the snow. He's just running past going, hey guys, how's it going? See you later.
That wasn't the movie, but like it could have been, I thought that was it could have been even more, but it was still pretty funny.
There's also the post that points out that you have Aragorn doing this thing where he's laying on the ground listening and telling them how many horses are coming, and it's very impressive. And then Legolas chimes in and is like, oh yeah, there's this exact number of them and they're all blonde and I can see them from here. After like Aragorn has been laying on the ground listening for forever.
Just like, humans do that, that's fine, okay, you know. Like, I just imagine, like, he just lives his lives among elves, he's just like, okay, humans lie on the ground sometimes, or hobbits might grow wings, I don't know.
And then also arriving at Minas Tirith and his immediate reaction is, I need to plant some trees here.
But no, Gimli's funny too. I will always love the Legolas and Aragorn were both like composing poems about Boromir, about the different winds, and then now I need to find it. Just a second. You left the east wind to me, said Gimli, but I will say not of it.
He says after a long pause, after he finished, he's like, am I supposed to sing this? Am I supposed to sing
this? We've all been there.
Three verses
to, like, the hand of five.
Yes.
That would be awesome.
Do it. I will say, I have like movie characters that I think John Rhys Davies portrayed Gimli really, really well.
Yeah.
Especially with humor wise.
Yeah, so that's a good, honestly, Gimli is a great segue into the movie discussion, mm-hmm. because like Legolas didn't retain nearly as much of his book humor into the movies. But Gimli did become the comic relief, you know, somewhat because of their decision to make elves all elegant and not funny, and dwarves the funny ones. But, I mean, we can't really object to John Rhys Davies just, like, being himself.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm like, a lot of the elves lighthearted and just did kind of get lost. It was interesting, they honestly tried, I think, to bring a little teensy bit of that into the Hobbit movie, which was interesting, mm-hmm. because Elrond is very much Mr. Downer in the Lord of the Rings movies, and don't marry my daughter, and like all this other stuff, and everybody's gonna die. And then it's a little bit more lighthearted, and the Hobbit is sort of making fun of the dwarves and speaking in Elvish and just kind of annoying them.
The elves annoying the dwarves is part of the humor of the Lord of the Rings.
But in the movie, Elrond makes some funny faces, though. I mean, you have to give him that. Oi!
So in the Hobbit movies, it's like the dwarves are more like they're acting annoying towards the elves. But it's definitely in the books is kind of flip because the elves are the ones that are like making up the annoying poems for the dwarves.
Do I need to apologize to Hugo Weaving again? Like,
you seem to do that a lot. You seem to do that a lot.
I apologize to Hugo Weaving quite regularly. He does do a great job, but you know.
Yeah. I'm like, we talked a little bit about like Frodo didn't really get got kind of a short shift, which is kind of sad. Like, I don't know. Yeah, we've been listening to 2 Billion Dobbs podcasts and Elijah being gone. He's pretty
friendship dangling. Onion.
Like, yeah, friendship onion. Thank you. Well, yeah. Shout out to that small little podcast guy. But yeah, no, I feel like he could have, I don't know, I feel like he could have handled some more humor.
Not only is he funny himself, Elijah Wood's laugh is apparently just one of the best things in the world.
Obviously, Merry and Pippin in the movies were a great comic relief as well, mm-hmm. and they managed to bring a lot of the book humor, I think, into that. And there's some good glimpses of Gandalf's humor. I mean, I think Gandalf in the books is way funnier than Gandalf in the movies. Not that Gandalf in the movies isn't great. They don't have time to do everything. But yeah, I think one of the times... Don't diss
Ian McKellen here. Sir Ian McKellen.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's great. I think in the script, they only have time for so much stuff. But I, you know, like, I know the moment that sold me on the movies was when Gandalf rides into Hobbiton and sets the fireworks off. And that was a great little, like, glimpse of his humor and sense of lightheartedness about life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that it was nice that The Hobbit gave Ian McKellen a little more humor for Gandalf, which is great for The Hobbit. I think one of my favorite things to make me laugh in the movies is the stuff you can't get in the book. It's the actor's facial expressions.
Yes.
Like, I mean, The Hobbit has Martin Freeman, who's like the king of that. So over and over.
That was going to be my answer for my favorite thing that's in the movies but not in the books in The Hobbit would have to be everything Martin Freeman does, period.
Yep.
He does humor well.
Oh my gosh, the physical humor when he's trying to get out the gate with the barrels. That still kills me.
No, okay, my king though of my favorite like facial expression only thing is like at the end of The Return of the King when they're in the prancing pony and Sam finally has the courage to get up to Rosie and all you see is Merry and Pippin's expressions.
Yeah.
I wish Martin Freeman would have had is for Bjorn to pick him up like he does in the book.
Cat order. Little bunny is getting very bad.
Yes, I would like to see Martin Freeman react to that.
Yes.
That would have been great.
Actually, the other thing I think that not as much as in the book. I guess you could have put more humor for the ants in the movie, I think, because the ants are pretty funny in the books in a very kind of dry way.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They are funny. I mean, they have, yeah, Treebeard has a great, like, I don't know, it's like this ancient, he's so ancient, he's seen everything. He just has a very dry look at life, I feel like.
And pairing them with the Hobbits was perfect.
Figuring out that Hobbits exist, yeah.
And like, I think we talked about another pop-up about Quickbeam seeing a tree and just dancing and singing when he sees it, which is just kind of hilarious for no reason at all.
Quickbeam was like, yeah, one of my favorite characters, honestly, and I was kind of sad when he didn't really make it in too much, but, you know, that's life.
Yeah. Oh, for facial expressions, I'll also say Orlando Bloom is sometimes hilarious.
Yeah.
We love a good watching Orlando Bloom in the background of any scene.
Standing in the background making the weirdest face.
I think, though, it is actually consistent with the book. Part of Legolas' humor is he's kind of a ditz, and I think in the movie he comes off as kind of a ditz.
He's like the super-powered friend that, like, you know, yeah, he's like, I've lived for so long, this is kind of fun. I've come along for the ride here.
Having a midlife crisis and going on an adventure with a bunch of humans.
And like, and the movie also brought in some nice things that even weren't in the book, you know, with its own humor, like, it's in the extended edition, but I like the bit with Gimli and Eowyn on the when they were going to Helm's Deep and the dwarf and the beards, you know.
Yes. They were going apart. The beards, that is definitely one of the best things that was added.
Oh my gosh, that was really good. I forget so much stuff is in the Two Towers is added because I'm like, it's just the one movie in my brain.
I'm pretty sure that wasn't the original though.
No, it was
extended. No. No, I think you said.
They did not have. That was on there.
Also, love the Limbus scene with the Limbus commercial, as we like to refer it to it. Legolas is explaining to them what it is.
Yeah, there's some great facial expressions from Merry and Pippin. They're like,
as if they haven't just eaten collectively eight or nine Limbus before Legolas found them. Oh, what a new concept.
Well, that's strange.
You should try some of those.
Oh, yeah, give us some, Legolas. We don't have any.
I thought you had some. Oh, no, they forgot to give us.
I wanted to say that my top two favorite funny moments in the book are, number one, ranking my number two, but the first one I'll mention. The first one I was going to mention was when Gandalf says to Saruman, "I liked white better."
How did we not mention that already?
That is
deadpan.
That is the one thing I wish had been in the movies, 100%. Yes.
You know, Ian McKellen could have delivered that very well.
I was going to say, but I think the moment in the book that always makes me laugh a little bit. So it's when Sam catches up to Rosie and Rosie says, "Well, be off with you. If you've been looking after Mr. Frodo all this while, what do you want to leave him for as soon as things look dangerous?" That is great humor to me.
It's good Hobbit humor there.
It's perfectly timed because you're like feeling a little depressed about how the Shire looks and like worried about Frodo. And like Sam's been such a hero through the whole thing, and she just has the ability to say the exact thing to just put everything in perspective, and it's so funny. I love that one.
It shows just how well she knows Sam too.
Yes.
My top moment that I am like surprised no one's brought up yet is the waste of a good apple line.
Oh my god. You want to give any context to that one?
Well, I mean, yeah, because it wasn't in the movie, and it's such a shame, but they didn't have Bill Ferny. But yeah, Bill Ferny making fun of them as they go past. Sam, lobs an apple at him, and then, he's like, wasted a good apple.
Set up very nicely with the lovely apples for walking and a pipe for sitting line as well.
Yeah. See, I think the one we haven't mentioned as much, is a lot of Sam and Gollum. I love Sam and Gollum. They have such a good dynamic, like in the Verbs and Stewed Rabbit chapter, a lot of that stuff where he sends them looking for, all the smelly leaves and stuff. But the one I think of all the time for some reason is like when Gollum's sniffing the air and Sam's like, "What are you sniffing for? Everything stinks. You stink, Master stinks, this whole place stinks." And Gollum's like, "Yes, yes, and Sam stinks too." Also, another thing I always think is hilarious, and I'm not even sure where it is, but it's some of the supplemental material that he gives is not in the book. Like, I love the story of the White Council, where Gandalf's just smoking away, and Saruman gets so annoyed at him for smoking all the time, and that's when he learns about pipe weed. I just think it's hilarious that Gandalf is sitting there smoking, and Saruman's just getting more and more annoyed, having to swoosh the smoke away or whatever. And then he finds out about pipe weed, and Saruman gets addicted to it, too. I just think that's the whole scene. Dynamic is Saruman is great.
And then even it notes that at least one of the alternate stories is that Gandalf is sitting there smoking smoke rings and then reaches out his hand to grab them and they disappear.
Yeah.
He's telling just a little funny way of telling Saruman, "I know what your temptation is." So
just... Oh yeah, that's great. Just that dynamic between Saruman and Gandalf always makes me laugh.
Yeah, and one of the key things to kind of go to our theme today, one of the key things is that Gandalf has a sense of humor and Saruman does not. He cannot laugh at himself. He cannot take himself anything but serious as a heart attack. And meanwhile, Gandalf knows, like, even when he says, when Saruman's like, "Well, we'll keep you on top of the tower until Sauron has time to deal with some lighter matters, like what to do with Gandalf the Grey." And Gandalf's like, might not be one of the lighter matters. Then Gandalf says, "But I knew that wasn't really, like, I knew that I was full of crap at that point. Like, I knew that wasn't really."
I mean,
but Saruman would be like, I'm taking offense to that.
Which makes it even more significant as far as heroes versus villains and sense of humor that Gollum does get plenty of moments of humor as well.
Yeah.
Unlike anyone else who's ever portrayed as bad or working against them.
Maybe that's what the Hobbit sense of humor is once they go evil, because he's still got a Hobbit sense of humor. No way.
He does! Their senses of humor are strangely compatible, aren't they?
You know, I don't say, like, you know, Denethor's also not exactly one that goes around cracking too many jokes, kind of maybe in a mean way. I think, I don't know, Smaug can kind of be funny. I was thinking about villains that are kind of funny. Like, he cracks jokes in a mean way. But at least he's entertaining. But yeah, no, I'm like, it's interesting, yes, all these very, like, high, you know, high and mighty kings and everything, you know, Aragorn definitely has a sense of humor, and I always like his interactions with the hobbits and other people. You know, I think that really shows that even though he's this very important person, he doesn't lack that sense of humor, and he can laugh at himself in other situations.
Aragorn's like an insult comic when it comes to Butterbur.
Yeah.
Like, he also only remembers his name because people shouted at him.
The other dynamic I always find funny, speaking of villains, is like all Sauron's embassies that go off and try to intimidate people. It never works well, like, you know, with Dane or whoever the people, like, they're all trying to be intimidating, but it just turns out being funny because they're like, they're not taking him seriously, like, all trying to be all sinister, and the hobbits are just like, get out of here, you shouldn't be in my garden or whatever.
Yeah,
and the least of rings, the least of rings.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Like, sure. Like, my time is my own to spend.
Yeah, I think I've said before on the podcast that I think that the mouth of Sauron scene is full of, like, humor under there, like how stupid he is to not see what's going on right in front of his eyes. And Gandalf, I think, is aware pretty quickly that they don't know why they had hobbits in Mordor, that they really don't have a clue as to what that was all about. And he just plays them like a fiddle.
Yeah, they're just like hobbits. What do? Do they fly? Do they grow wings?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't know if hobbits can fly or not either. Question for the ages.
Any top moments from the movies, maybe? Like, Snorting?
We discussed both of them. Alrighty. I like all the ones with Aowen and Gimli.
Oh, yeah, that was a friendship you don't see in the books. That was a good addition to the movie. I like it.
And then the drinking game was fun, too.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of the stuff they did with Legolas and Gimli was fun.
Yes, Legolas and Gimli's little...
when Gimli falls off the Force intentionally.
Oh, yeah. Terry's giving his own opinion.
Yes, feel free to chime in.
Chime in, Terry!
He's walking to the room. He likes when Gimli falls off the horse.
I was going to say, I know what Terry's favorite part is.
Not the beard!
Not the beard. All right, I like the entire thing of Helm's Deep with Gimli and Aragorn and Legolas. It just makes me crack up.
You're going to have to toss me.
Don't tell the off.
I always say no.
You have to toss me.
My thought going into this is that a lot of Tolkien's humor is from, like, character interactions, but there's also some very good situational humor, and we didn't get enough of that either, but there's just so much to talk about, because in a book that's full of long descriptions and deep topics and dark and scary things, Tolkien just knew the value of putting a lot of humor into his works.
Okay. I should have said this, but you guys were talking.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about Bjorn's house and how it read like a comedy sketch when Gandalf was bringing in the dwarves.
Yeah. Yes. Micaiah can take that and stick it back in the part where we talked about Bjorn's house.
No, yeah, it does.
You have a high opinion of my editing skills. Sorry.
We do.
That whole scene where they're coming in, it does read like a comedy sketch, where he just, like, and Gandalf has orchestrated it in his head. He has his own little script that he's following, right? Where he's just like, and then this dwarf will be next. And, oh, I guess we had a few more friends. But that whole thing.
And Bomber will be last, of course.
Yeah.
And then Bomber has to come in because he's mad because he's always last. And he always counts as two. I'm like, gosh. Yeah, that whole thing. I wish.
I was like, why am I always last? And Gandalf's like, it's because you're the most important. Like,
but the whole
kind of music Hobbit references, why not?
Yeah, the whole Hobbit is a situational comedy, though.
Yes.
I'm like, it's just written that way.
Yeah, no, I think it does kind of set Tolkien's work apart from some other fantasies that I've read, and like other books that are take themselves a bit more seriously. I'm like, I think people can have a hard time slogging through some of those, and I sometimes Tolkien gets a bit carried away with the descriptions of trees, etc. But I feel like he always has that humor to kind of reel you back in and ground the characters. So I think that's something that we see a lot in his works. And there's definitely a lot more we could discuss. But yeah, if you want to share with us which one parts are your favorite in the movies or the books, that'd be great. Yeah. So thanks for listening, guys. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Seven Stars, Seven Siblings, and One White Tree, a Tolkien podcast by the Wheeler family. This episode was produced by Elizabeth and Micaiah and was edited by Micaiah. Our associate producers are Quincy and Nadia. Our music is from purpleplanet.com. That's purple-planet.com. If you liked our show, please tell your friends, rate, review, and come back next time. And thank you for your support. This has been an Unwashed Bear production.
All right, now that we've sufficiently undone my nicely tying up the end of the podcast...
That was like a perfect phrasing, though.
What hasn't been talked about yet? Oh, gosh.
Yes.
We'll just edit it out. What is it, guys?
Do I have the power to mute you? I do.
Micaiah will fix it in editing.